आप हैं SBS हिंदी के साथ।
ऑस्ट्रेलिया और चीन के बीच बढ़ते व्यापारिक तनाव के मद्देनजर ऑस्ट्रेलिया भारत को एक बड़े व्यापारिक साझेदार के तौर पर देख रहा है। पिछले कुछ वर्षों में ऑस्ट्रेलिया के भारत की ओर बढ़ते कदम इसका गवाह रहे हैं। और अब ऑस्ट्रेलिया के व्यापार और पर्यटन मंत्री डेन तिहान के ताजा बयान ने इस बात को और पुख्ता किया है। डेन तिहान ने कहा कि भारत ऑस्ट्रेलिया का अच्छा मित्र है और दोनों देशों के बीच व्यापारिक रिश्ते बढ़ाने से दोनों देशों को फायदा होगा। हालांकि भारत और ऑस्ट्रेलिया के बीच व्यापारिक रिश्तों में एक झिझक हमेशा से रही है और ये झिझक भारत की ओर से ज्यादा है। भारत और ऑस्ट्रेलिया के बीच व्यापारिक रिश्ते और व्यापार मंत्री डेन तिहान के ताजा बयान के मायने को समझने के लिए हमने बात की है भारत ऑस्ट्रेलिया व्यापारिक संबंधों की जानकार और न्यूलैंड ग्लोबल ग्रुप में जनरल मैनेजर नताशा झा भास्कर से। ये बातचीत अंग्रेजी में है। वेलकम टू SBS हिंदी नताशा।
थैंक्स गौरव।
माय फर्स्ट क्वेश्चन इज रिगार्डिंग ऑस्ट्रेलियाज ट्रेड मिनिस्टर डेन तिहान्स करंट स्टेटमेंट अबाउट इंडिया। व्हाट डू यू थिंक, व्हाट इज द सिग्निफिकेंस ऑफ डेन तिहान्स स्टेटमेंट ऑन फ्री ट्रेड एग्रीमेंट?
Thanks, Gaurav, and I think this is a very opportune time to discuss the very relevance of free trade agreement between Australia and India. Now, the Australia-India free trade deal, which is also known as the Comprehensive Economic Cooperation Agreement, has been in works since 2011, and it has been more than 9 years, over 9 rounds of negotiations. But the two countries have yet to reach a settlement where both can feel comfortable with. Now, in 2008, Australia and India had initiated a feasibility study to explore the scope of a possible FTA. And the study had shown that there are significant barriers which exist in goods and services when it comes to free trade and which needs to be addressed. Now, from this perspective, if I look at Trade Minister's yesterday's statement, I find it extremely significant as it clearly shows that there is a renewed focus on building on the FTA negotiations, which could actually provide significant growth and commercial benefit to exporters, investors, and businesses on both sides. And I think what you also mentioned yesterday was the India's Australia Economic Strategy, which is a reciprocal report to the Australia's India Economic Strategy 2035, which was released on 18th December this year. And one of the key recommendations of this report is also a renewed focus on the free trade agreement. Now, when you look at the very significance of this statement vis-a-vis where are we, what we need to do and achieve on FTA. First thing which is very important for us to understand is that FTAs are a tightrope walk between ensuring economic gains and managing national interests. Now, the very understanding of economic integration in itself is very diverse and complicated. So we have a dilemma where negotiating countries are at different levels of development with diverse and sometimes very divided interests. And how do we really bring them to a common consensus on issues that can have a direct impact on an individual country's domestic enterprises, growth, employment, and investment, and in turn also ensure mutual benefits for all? So, going back to what you asked, what is important to understand in the current scenario, which is actually a post-COVID scenario, to understand the context, the compulsions, and the challenges, and how this will really shape any future discourse on free trade on free trade agreement. So, the pre-COVID FTA rules and expectations, like what I said, that we have been doing these talks since 2011. We had a joint feasibility study which was launched in 2008. Those rules and expectations will not really work in post-COVID world. We are looking towards more insular economies, threatened globalization goals, and a very high paranoia around supply chain risks and debates around economic sovereignty, self-reliance, and decoupling. So this particular FTA must emerge as a tool towards building confidence and addressing skepticism that generally revolves around FTA in a global scenario. India is already working towards its new FTA strategy, and it has called for reviewing and renegotiating the existing FTAs with ASEAN, Japan, and Korea. And at the same time, it's actually looking for enhanced trade agreements with UK, US, Australia, European Union. Even the policy areas, the policy focus will be very different this time. So we are looking at intellectual property rights, data localization, climate investment, greater cooperation in new areas like artificial intelligence, green technology, medical devices, advanced manufacturing, critical minerals, which is a key sector. So what we need to understand here is that Australia will have to find a way to distinguish itself from other countries in the way it approaches CECA with India. Apart from its diversification goals to export to other markets, to counter the punitive Chinese bans on Australian products, it has to be innovative and focused towards capacity building. These are, I think, it will be of greater significance the way Australia looks at building its FTA with India.
Natasha, would you like to explain our listeners what are the challenges for FTA between India and Australia?
Well, there are several challenges between India and Australia when we talk about the free trade agreement. And the critical issue here is trade imbalance, asymmetrical tariff commitment, and paranoia over competition from foreign producers. So, India is likely to evaluate a deal on the basis of bilateral trade balance, focusing on partners with whom more trade would further specific, national interests. So it will actually look for expanding its export-oriented domestic production without facilitating imports. So what we are saying is that trade engagement is likely to be very selective from the Indian side. It will look for prospects for its key industries like pharma, automobiles, IT, and that will actually define and influence its trade policy outlook. Now, as I said earlier, that the very focus of post-COVID economic diplomacy of India is dependent on two key factors. One is investment and the other is technology. And here, the FTA between India and Australia would be expected to address the tariff and non-tariff barriers, the customs and enhanced agriculture market access, the phytosanitary issues, movement of professionals, the mutual recognition of qualifications, Australia's investment appetite for India, which is still very, very limited. We haven't seen many investments happening from Australia into India. And that will be a key distinguishing factor. And I personally feel this has the potential to redefine the fate of this relationship, because Australia is a country which has a large pool of investment funds under management. So an FTA could actually deliver the businesses that confidence about the operating environment, as India today is focusing on economies that can invest in its growth story. So that will be a major, major distinguishing factor and remains a challenge between between both countries. And as I mentioned, that areas like critical minerals, advanced manufacturing sector, these are sectors which again play a very, very defining role in how India will engage with Australia. What is also important to understand here, Gaurav, is that unlike multilateral trade platforms like RCEP, bilateral trade agreements provide an opportunity for hard bargain and open discussions. And that's where an opportunity I see both for Australia and India. India has not signed RCEP, and there has been enough debate and discussions on why that didn't happen and if India is actually going more inwards than actually opening itself. But the reason is that each and every country, as I said earlier, is driven by its own national interests. And this particular agreement between Australia and India can give both these countries an opportunity to have open discussions on how to negotiate FTA, which can help everybody, and consider impact assessment of FTA as a continuous process, go for data analysis, stakeholder consultations, also to protect the interests of the domestic industry. If CECA could provide for maintaining lists of sensitive items on which limited tariff concessions are granted, where both countries could take remedial measures such as imposing anti-dumping duty and safeguards in case if there's surge in imports or injury to the domestic industry. So there has to be necessary safeguards that addresses each other concerns. A blanket deal in the post-COVID scenario will not work, and hence it has to be very cleverly and intelligently negotiated bilateral agreement. We know that there are certain items which has the capacity to bring in stiff resistance from India: dairy, agriculture exports, intellectual property rights, services, which is actually considered as India's strong area, but again, its performance is hampered because of mutual recognition agreements. So how the new dynamics will shape up will primarily depend on how flexible both the countries will be in bringing each other's interests and along with intent, also driving it with solid action. So mutual reciprocity is key here. There's also an increasing political momentum, as we know that 2020 has been a great year for Australia-India relations, and that's where shared history, Commonwealth values, and all that we have achieved this year, this should be taken forward in 2021 with a deal which can actually further enhance the quality of this relationship and identify the cost and benefits of such a deal, set an example for others to follow, and also calm down the skepticism, because the opportunity which Australia and India has today is to carve out a deal which can help calm Indian skepticism and increase confidence, by trade in both goods and services, investment and labor mobility. So that's what I would say, primarily from the FTA perspective. It's a big opportunity both countries have, Gaurav.
Yeah, but as you know, India is a bit hesitant in the trade relation with Australia, especially in agribusiness. So in this case, what can Australia bring to the table for a hesitant India to come forward?
Right. So, that's a great question, Gaurav. And as you rightly said that, what should be done from the Australian side, which can actually bring hesitant India to come forward. And that's what I was, as I mentioned earlier, that primarily to understand the needs of India and create a deal which benefits both parties. And that's where it has to be carved out in a way which is very transparent and independently shares the costs and benefits. For any nation in its pursuit of a more open economy, it has to ensure that the workers who are disrupted by this whole nature of liberalizing economy are listened to, accommodated and supported as economies transition. Because when we talk about stiff resistance, even from the agriculture sector or the dairy sector, there is a serious lack of communication that needs to happen. There has to be a serious understanding. There has to be safeguards that need to be built, social safety nets, because any trade deal will not really reap you benefits immediately. There'll always be, some sort of an imbalance that will exist. But even if you go back to the feasibility study report, it actually said that, if one looks at the 2010 to 2030, because the feasibility study was done in 2008, it showed a 20-year, benefits of FTA. And it said that there are substantial gains for both countries in the range of 44% to 46% productivity gains in each sector. So what's more important is that for Australia and for India to identify what really are the hiccups, the barriers that exist, and create a deal that is not really a lopsided deal and addresses the concerns which India has currently with other trade deals. We know that India has signed several such deals with other nations, with ASEAN, with South Korea, with Japan, and most of these deals are being reviewed and renegotiated right now because of the sort of imbalance which it has caused. Like just for the understanding of the viewers, the trade deficit has actually widened between all these nations, ASEAN, Korea, and Japan, from $9 billion in 2005 to $83 billion in 2017. So that remains a major concern for India. That what happens when? How do you address this sort of a trade balance? Having said that, it's equally important to address that Indian industry will have to move the path of being more domestically competitive, because you need to integrate with the global supply chain. You need to integrate with the global market. You can't really keep yourself outside that market for long. So All these measures and an innovative approach to the FTA will be needed moving forward, Gaurav.
Thank you very much for this brilliant analysis, Natasha.
Thanks, Gaurav. And if I may say, today being the last day of 2020, and this has been a year which has actually tested everyone's patience and perseverance. But for Australia-India ties, it has been a year of great milestones. We elevated our relationship to the Comprehensive Strategic Partnership. So I expect 2021 to be a year of reached destinations, where the aspirations of this relationship is definitely translated into actions and achievements. And what better way than to actually ink a free trade agreement between both countries? Thank you very much, Gaurav, and wish you a very happy new year.
You too. Thank you.